love it when a plan comes together.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes every time, and you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams. Happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and the stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. Display. And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud, you do. Hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and the stripes and the eagles fly. But it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. With the stars and stripes and the eagles fly.
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that ball.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench.
And here we are. Welcome to the shooting bench. It is, what is it? It's Wednesday, the 16th of January. Halfway through this month already. Before I get too carried away, I guess I better get over here and check the chat room and see if we've got sound. Let's see a show of hands. And we're waiting for hands. While we're waiting for hands, let's see who all's in there. Desert Rat just popped in, and DeTinker's still there. Thank you, DeTinker, and Doc, and Mountain Shooter, and Nan, and NM Glock, and Punk, and Cat, and Yakima Glock, and T-Bone. A couple of Anonymous just came in. All right. Let's see, find out if I'm talking to myself or not. Okay. Thank you, NM Glock, Mountain Shooter. How'd you do on your javelina hunt there? I have to... posted to you. Surely you've got some pictures to show us today, right? Okay. All right. I got a few news items, kind of important stuff. But before we do that, I have some other important stuff. There are some things here that I'm not preparedness type issues that I need to throw out there. And one of them, I think, is we've talked about it before, but it's been a long, long time. So we're going to talk about it a little more, and that's a pocket knife, some kind of a knife that you have on you. Never trust a man that doesn't carry a pocket knife. I am embarrassed for men when I ask to borrow a pocket knife or someone asks to borrow a pocket knife and they don't have one. It's someone should... You should take them by the shoulders and shake them and point them toward the right direction where the pocket knives are. Everybody should carry a pocket knife of some kind. That is Mountain Shooter. It's EDC. It's everyday carry. It's part of your, not only is it part of who we are and what we do, part of just the American male in general, it is probably the single most important thing other than your car keys that you can carry on you. Of course, your car keys are important so you can get to work and get to wherever you're going. But a good quality pocket knife is indispensable, even for women. Now, women, you know, maybe you don't want to carry quite as big a knife, but you should still carry a knife. There is, I never carry less than two and usually carry three. And once in a while during hunting season, I carry four. And they all have different purposes. Three months ago, we talked about some supplemental gear that I've been experimenting with. And I've got this, I told you about this one knife that I got from Lowe's. And I swear this is still... Every day that I use this knife, I fall more in love with it. They're very inexpensive. They hold an edge well. They're built good. I can handle it, open and close it with gloves on. It's the very best knife I've ever owned in my life. Maybe not the very best quality, but is the very best as far as utility goes, and the quality is more than sufficient. So take that for what it's worth. But... everything from trimming, you know, cutting off a hangnail or something, digging splinters out of your finger, slicing an apple, stripping a wire. I mean, there's just a million different things you can do with a pocket knife, up to and including defend yourself, if it comes right down to it. Now, you don't necessarily have to be a knife fighter to use a knife to defend yourself. Maybe we can get into that some other time, but the element of surprise and a little bit of hand wringing and timid acting may get you an opportunity to use that knife. If you wonder what I'm talking about, you need to watch a show called Red Eye. It's about a girl that was kidnapped, and she was the manager of a huge hotel, and they had a big espionage deal, big plan to use this hotel for something. They kidnapped her, and she took that opportunity when the opportunity rose to use a big pin and jam it in this guy's throat. And it could be done with, you know, a number of different items, but have one of those items on you. The Yakima Glock says he still got the first pocket knife his granddad ever gave him when he was 5 years old. I've got knives still that I don't know how in the hell old they are. I've got a bit of a fetish for knives. I like good knives a lot. Mountain Shooter, let me... let's see. I don't know if I have that picture where I can post it on there for you. The knife is, you know, during the break, I'll find out what that is. It's a, what is the Lowe's brand of stuff? Cobalt. It's a cobalt knife. And buddy, I'm here to tell you, you need to believe me on this. I hate cheap, junky knives. I hate them. There's no use spending the money. I don't care if you can buy them for $3 or $7 or whatever, if they're or $25. If they're made in Pakistan or China or India, you don't buy them, period. And if it's anything else that is, you know, these gimmick knives that you buy at the gas stations alongside the interstate, maybe Nan could post a picture. She got one. I absolutely detest cheap knives. I don't trust people that carry cheap knives. Maybe I should say junky knives. I'm kidding when I say I don't trust them. Man. But this knife that you get at Lowe's, this cobalt knife, I'm embarrassed to say how cheap they are. I bought one sheerly for work. I said, well, for that kind of money, so well. I'll try one. If it works for me, fine. If it don't, that's okay too. And it got to be my everyday carry knife. I love this knife. Love it. I don't just like it a little bit. I love this knife. It has three blades. One of them is a utility blade. You guys, if you were listening 3 months ago, I'm repeating myself. But it's got three blades. One of them is a utility blade with a tanto-type point and serrated edge. So it's good for, you know, cutting wires, cutting tin cans open, whatever you need it for when you don't want to tear up your other knives. The other two blades, one of them is a drop point type blade, about 2.5 inches long or a little better. Good shape for skinning and just a, you know, I won't even say an all-purpose knife because since there's two other blades on there, you've got all-purpose blades for other things. So I try not to use that blade for anything because it's the one that stays the sharpest. The third one is a box cutter. It's a very, very sturdy, very well-built, easy to operate, easy to change blades, easy to open and close with one hand. Two of the blades will open and close with gloves on. The other one will, but you got to use both hands. Two of the blades you can open with your gloves. Now, I'm telling you, these knives are, you sharpen them, and it holds a pretty good edge. Are they as good as a buck, you know, or the old Schrade knives? I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't really done a lot of cardboard cutting and really worked them real hard. Because the one blade that I use the most, like 100 times a day, is the box cutter. I never wanted to carry a box cutter around with me because it's too limited in what it can do. I've got other, the other blades on here makes this knife more of a, it's a knife for every purpose that you need a knife for. You need to gut and skin a deer, that clip point blade will do it. You need to cut tin can, strip wire, cut a piece of light cable in two or whatever, that serrated blade will do it. And about 1,000 other things that you do just that you need a little sharp edge for, that box cutter will do it. And so I've got it, and it fits perfectly. If you get a Blackhawk, what do they call it, the Serpa-style 9mm or double stack 9 and 40 magazine carriers. That thing drops in there perfectly. It holds it good and tight, and I carry one in there every day. So, yes, Yakima Goth, they do have the same warranty as other Cobalt tools. If you screw up and break it because you don't know how to treat your knife properly, you just take it in there and say, I need a new one. You pick up a new one, walk out the door. It's that simple. Nothing to it. Here, they just say, go get you another one. And that's all there is to it. So I can't say enough about this knife. I wish I could say something real clever that would make you go run out and go buy one. But just run out and go buy one, okay, without the clever little saying. Just go do it. By the way, they're $16. That's the embarrassing part of it. You know, all my knives are $80, $100, $125, $150 knives. I don't have any $16 knives. Those are what you pay for the ones at the gas station beside the interstate. Folks, this is a $60 knife in a $16 uniform. It works really well. So back to the story here. Too many people pretend to be knife fighters, and I'll tell you one thing you don't want to be, and that's a knife fighter. If you can run from a knife, run from that knife. If you can shoot somebody with a knife, shoot them to the ground. You don't want anything to do with knife fighting. I took a crash course. I actually got certified as a knife instructor through Mike Janet, one of the best knife guys in the country. I never really pursued it. I didn't really feel that confident with it after we got done with it. But nevertheless, I did get some good training from Mike Jennings. That doesn't mean I have any desire nor intention whatsoever to ever use that unless I am forced into it and have absolutely no possible way out of it. I don't want to see how good I ain't or how good the other guy is. But so the reason I said that is because too many people carry tactical folders or whatever and have no earthly idea what they're going to do with one if they ever get forced into using it. So there's a – not that it's – and don't think that I don't do the same thing. I've carried one, a tactical folder, as they say. Since I got this Cobalt knife, my tactical folder lays on my nightstand. I almost never carry it anymore. But there are just so many things that you can do with a pocket knife. And for people, I don't know how people get along without one. I really don't. I'm being serious. I don't know how you get from day to day without a pocket knife. Nan, is that the right one? That one says one blade. Let me click on Nan's link here and see if that's the right one. I don't think it is. Yes, it is. It says one blade, but it's that is the right one. So click on Nan's link there, $15.98. Take a look at that knife. The box cutter part of it is the simplest, most rugged box cutter I've ever seen. So if you're looking for a new knife, go get one. The different types of knives, you've got just regular folding knives. Now, I can't tell you how many times when I was a kid the knife folded up on my... That was before we had lock blades. You know, there were very, very few, if any, lock blade knives out there. They were either fixed blade, you know, solid, or they were folding. And I was... I'd be trying to drill a hole or, you know, cut something I wasn't supposed to be cutting. I'd doing something, that damn blade would fold up on me. I would cut the knot out of myself. And that happened numerous times. So I was very grateful when the lock blade knives came out. And you've got... you generally two major types of lock blades. One of them is called a liner lock, which is what the that cobalt knife is. Liner lock, there's a little it's a little piece of metal, kind of a spring that pops over in place when you open the blade up and you close it from the inside. I'd say probably the majority of your knives are liner lock. That's probably not the most sturdy of the two, although it's probably the fastest, easiest to operate. The other one, I don't remember what the name of it is. The lock itself is in the back of the knife instead of in the front, you know, where you fold it up. And I can't remember what you call them. I think it's probably a little sturdier than the liner lock. And one thing with the liner lock, if you get real ambitious with the knife and you really push it hard to, especially if you're applying a lot of pressure downward to cut something real hard or something like that, the liner lock tends sometimes to stick and make it very difficult to unlock. The Yakima Glock, you're probably right. In Britain, lock blade folders may be illegal. And they're trying to make all knives that you carry illegal. Don't move to Britain or any part of it. Fixed blade knives with full tang, absolutely much better than folders. But they're not as convenient, not as easy to carry. And I have no problem with the fixed blade. I just don't like carrying the extra weight and bulk, and they don't go well in a pocket. That's why they call them pocket knives. So those are the two types of locking blade. Then the, you know, one better than another, I don't know, kind of personal preference, whichever one you get used to. My favorite tactical folder, as they call it, is a Columbia River knife and tool, CRKT, Cricut. They have a feature on there. They're not the only ones that use it. There's other people that's come out with them, but it's called a Carson Flipper. The Carson Flipper is a great way to open a knife with one hand very, very quickly, faster than most knives. Doesn't require a lot of quick flip of the wrist or anything. It's extremely easy, extremely fast, and that's the only tactical folder, as they call them, that I will carry. I've got two or three different sizes. I really like them, but I have no intention of getting into it. And back to the three blade knife, I've got my choice of which one I want to tear up. You know, whatever I'm doing, I can use that utility blade for stuff that I don't want to use regular blade for. So when I carry my my other folder, the one that I was carrying before the cobalt knife, I had to cringe and grit my teeth sometimes, and I needed to use it on things that I don't like to use knives for, but that's what I had, and I didn't want to, you know, go to the truck and get a whatever, you know, the different type of tool for it, so, or get a box cutter out of the toolbox or something. Now I have one on my side right now. At this moment, as we sprecken, I have one on my side, and I like it. So, and then you have, as Doc's talking about, fixed blade knives. The fixed blade knives absolutely, definitely have their place. They're the ones that will not fold up on your fingers. They're the ones you can drill a hole with and get ambitious with and not worry about it folding up and cutting you. Or, you know, you can break them. That's why you buy a good solid one that won't break. Don't buy a fixed blade knife that the tang goes an inch up into the handle and stops. It needs to go all the way to the end of the handle. That's what Doc was talking about there when he says a full tang. It goes from the where the blade disappears into the handle there. It needs to go all the way and come back out at the other end of the handle, or at least up to that point. And A&M Glock's got a point. After field dressing a deer, you'd rather clean a fixed blade than a fold. Of course you would. I mean, that's what they're for. They're a fixed blade knife. And when I was a kid, all I ever knew it was a hunting knife. My hunting knife was a fixed blade. And naturally, they're easier to clean and safer and everything else. But I have cleaned many a deer with a folding knife. When it's all you got, it's all you got. Now, I'll tell you a little story about my granddad. I may have told you this before. I'm fixing to tell you again. Back in, I don't even know when it was, probably in the, let's see, my dad was born in 30, so I'd say it was probably late 30s, early 40s, that my granddad on my dad's side went hunting out away from the house there a pretty good little ways on horseback and got out there and killed a deer and discovered that he had forgotten his knife. What is a man to do when you have forgotten your knife? Well, for me, that is so impossible. Because I have an extra knife in every backpack. I have my knife in the saddlebags. I have two or three of them on. I can't leave the house without a knife. I would be scared to death to leave the house without a pocket knife. I don't have to check and see because I wear it all the time. But what was he going to do? He took the same shell that he killed the deer with. It was a 30-30. And he took that 30-30 shell and flattened it out between two rocks and sharpened it on a piece of sandstone enough that he was able to worry the guts out of that deer. And I'm willing to bet that he didn't ever forget his hunting knife again. But that's what you have to do, and that's what you have to do. So, and what we have to do right now is take a little break. So as soon as I get everything brought back up here, I'm so busy talking and not paying attention to what I was supposed to be doing that I wasn't prepared to take a break. So let's hang on here just a minute and we'll do that. Let me move this stuff over here and take and move that over there. Grab one of these and let's see. Got to be a good one here somewhere. Speaking of, yeah, let's use this one. That's a good one right there. Okay. Now we're set, and I'm going to take that break I was just telling you about.
I'll be back. My head's down the town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down.
you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Elmer Jones arose at dawn and put his hunting breeches on, then looked up at his shotgun on the wall. He made his mind up then and there to bag himself at shooting. He had plenty on the ball. He milked the cow and fed the hog, then kissed his wife, called the dog, picked up his gun and started on his quest. He crossed the creek and hit the trees, threw back his head and sniffed the breeze, let out a yell and pounded on his chest.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
He hunted all the morning through, but not a bear came into view, while Elmer's thoughts were on the kitchen range. For he was sick as he could be of lamb and chicken fricassee and craved a mess of bear meat for a change. Poor Elmer's mind was in a fog. He paused and sat down on a log to get his tackle lid back in the groove. He heard a noise, and standing there before him was a grizzly bear, and figured it was time he made his move.
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, bear, run.
Grabbed his gun and turned around, but Mr. Bear just stood his ground, and Elmer said, it's either me or thou. The gun refused to go, and so he knew that somebody had to go, and said, farewell, I'm leaving as of now. Elmer's shoulders sprouted wings, his feet developed inner springs. To linger longer, he was disinclined. He ran so fast through muck and mire, his ankles set his socks afire. Still, that bear kept coming on behind.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Elmer, run, bear, run.
A deer with antler 8 feet wide got in the way of Elmer's stride as both of them went heading for the brush. Elmer said, now listen, son, if that's the fastest you can run, move over, because I'm really in a rush. The bear was gaining inch by inch and finally reached out for the clinch as Elmer saw the fence around his place. He leaped the fence and landed hard, jumped 60 feet across the yard and slammed the kitchen door in Bruin's face.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
The bear was trying to get inside while Elmer sought a place to hide, and Mrs. Jones began to pull her hair. She said, this fuss has got to stop. Why don't you let that matter drop? And Elmer said, honey, you go tell that to the bear. Then Elmer's wife said, listen, goon, how come you think you're Daniel Boone, whose appetite on bear meat used to thrive? He said, I'm sure that you're aware that Daniel always killed his bear, but honey, I done brought this baby home alive.
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, bear, run.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
Yeah, we can't. There we are. Now I'm back. All right. You could go on and on, you know, indefinitely about the different types of blades and the different uses for knives. There's a million different things you can do. But I think that it's, I think it's probably the most important part of your preparedness stuff. You can not only use it for a weapon, you can make weapons with a good knife, a little bit of ingenuity. You can, get something to eat. You can field dress your game. I mean, there's just the different types of things that you can do are just endless. So that's enough with the knives right now. But if I ever meet you in person somewhere and I ask to use your knife, please don't tell me you don't have one, especially after listening to tonight's show. And of course, I won't ask you to use your knife. I do sometimes, actually, because I like to see. But if I ever ask you, it sure as hell ain't because I don't have one, I can tell you that. Another, just a brief reminder here, when they talk about preparedness stuff, you know, everybody gets food, and they got all this freeze-dried food, and they got all these MREs and all this stuff, and they got guns, and they got, you know, thousands and thousands of rounds of ammo that they'll probably never use. And, you know, all kinds of Band-Aids and Neosporin and all that stuff. And then you ask them, how many pairs of socks do they have? You know, I can't express to you how important it is that you keep your feet healthy when something like this happens. So one of the things in your many types of preparedness items would be, what do you have in the way of socks? What do you have in the way of underwear, T-shirts, and other clothing? What's this? Oh, A&M Glock's talking about the 6.5 Carcana. Well, I'm not going to get one, but you're sure welcome to. All right. what else? Different. I've got, I don't know how many T-shirts put away. A lot of them are extras that we had when we closed the store. A lot of them are stuff that we bought. We go down, yard sales and flea markets and stuff. Somebody will have a deal and a bunch of new looking T-shirts or jeans or socks or sweaters or something for a nickel or a quarter. And we buy them. And we've got them in totes and stuck away. And if it gets down to it, when there's a fire or something and somebody loses their home, it doesn't hurt us one bit to donate a dozen T-shirts and a couple of jackets and a few things. But and we continue to keep that replenished. And it's
what's going on back here?
Oh, Murphy's going crazy. I don't know. That may sound like a simple thing, but it won't sound like a simple thing when you don't have we're looking at, you know, everybody talks about a year's supply of food. And they've got enough ammo to last for, 75 years. And then you ask them, how many socks you got? Well, why? Well, what are you going to wear? So think outside the box a little bit and don't think about the standard medical supplies, food. You know, the other thing is communications. We've talked about that many times. I'm not going to spend any time with it tonight, but I can't tell you the number of people that I have opened their eyes about communications. And it's the one thing they hadn't thought of. And I said, there's four things that are the very most important of your preparedness items. A lot of stuff, everything from flashlight batteries to sewing thread to duct tape. There's a million different little things, and it sure doesn't hurt to have them. But make sure you have the four most important things first, and that is something for defense, something for sustenance, food, water, medical supplies, good medical. I ain't talking about a box of Band-Aids. I'm talking about saline and catheters and tourniquets and the stuff that a little outside of the $4.99 first aid kit you get at Walmart. I'm talking about, possibly several hundred dollars worth of stuff. If it gets to a point where you are 911, where you are the emergency room, you're going to need more than a box of Band-Aids. So look into that a little bit. Another thing that goes along with that is training. And buying all this stuff doesn't help. That's not true. I won't say it doesn't help, because there are people out there that have been wise enough to include this medical training as part of their preparedness stuff. We have been through it. I don't know, probably been through Chuck's class, a good 2-day class. I had 1 3-day class, and I've been through that 1, 2, 3, I think either 4 or 5 different times. And if I get the opportunity, I'll do it again, because that is some important stuff. So where was I at? Defense, food and water, medical, and communications. And some of that stuff should be protected, whether it's your communication stuff should be, you know, have at least one set of radios that are in a hardened, you know, EMP hardened container, Faraday type box cage. And anyway, take that for what it's worth. And AZ Bound's got a good, some items there would be good friends. Some of your stuff, you know, extra ammo, you get back for 22 shell stuff. This is the barter standard of the country for a while is going to be ammunition. And you know, the one thing that people always say is, well, how do you know you're not giving it to a bad guy? Well, use your brain. You know, think about what you're doing. And if you think it's a bad guy, then don't give them very much or whatever. Just use your head. There's going to be times when there's going to be people that are within your group, friends of yours. Everybody that you meet's not necessarily going to be a bad guy, although there will be some that will turn on you, of course. But that's, you know, one of those things you just have to use a good judgment on. But the types of stuff that you can use for barter, we talked about the guy that, Furfowl, his name was Ferdinand something, his last name started with an A, when he survived the collapse in Argentina, I think it was. And the stories that he had to tell, which should really open your eyes. He said, what do you store? What do you keep? Extra stuff do you get? He said, everything. He said, toilet paper. People would kill for toilet paper. Literally. He said, everything. If you get extra, you can find it cheap at a yard sale or something before something happens. Get extra everything. And if you think about it, how many different things do you use during the day, during any given day, during any given week? How many different things do you, little things that you don't think anything about? A sewing needle, a screwdriver, a thimble, sewing thread, tape of different types. And when you don't have those things, that doesn't mean that all this needs to go in a 72-hour pack. It means that if you are able to stay in place, that a lot of this stuff will be able to be used. If it doesn't, then, you know, probably the logical thing would be to destroy it all and take what you can carry. But, you know, that's going to be a case-by-case type deal, and only you can make that decision. All right, let's go through some other things here. There's a few stories I want to get out here real quick. One of them, Washington. Got a couple out of Washington. NRA, the Washington state is banning certain NRA insurance policies. They say the NRA sells insurance to protect people who have committed criminal acts. How stupid are these people in Washington? Now, I shouldn't say these people in Washington, because some of my very best friends and some of the staunchest patriots that I know are in Washington, but I can tell you another damn thing, they're sure enough outnumbered. I'll tell you that. And so they're banning these insurance policies, the NRA. Craziest thing I ever heard of in my life. Here's another one out of Washington. And I am embarrassed that this Washington's lieutenant governor is the most pathetic, disgusting, pitiful little individual, the sorriest excuse for a man probably that ever pooped between a pair of boots right now. He skipped the State of the State address. Now, Governor, his boss ain't no better. Governor Inslee's just like him. But Governor Inslee did at least make the speech. The reason that the lieutenant governor didn't make it is because he was worried. He said there may be people there with guns. He didn't feel safe. You big punk sissy. Couldn't even believe what I was hearing. Go to Matt Shea's website. Go to LFA Arizona. Go to Dying is Not an Option. Go to a lot of these different websites and listen to Matt Shea's little narrative on this little embarrassing little punk. It's embarrassing. It's disgusting. He is worried for his safety. If I were the lieutenant governor, and now, wait. Let me, it's not because you and I are going to be on the floor with these people. It's because that the law says that legislators, Matt Shea, and some of these outstanding examples of legislators have concealed carry permits and carry at least one gun in there. Now, wouldn't you feel, I don't understand why these people feel unsafe when you have, I don't get it. I get my tongue over my eye teeth. Can't see what I'm saying when I start talking about stuff like this. It's just it floors me. It blows me away. He said he won't preside at Governor Jay Inslee's State of the State speech because he's concerned that people might bring concealed weapons into the joint session of the legislature. So, would you feel better if they were carried openly? Would you feel better if law-abiding citizens were banned from it and the ones that were intending to hurt you did it anyway because they don't get, they're called criminals for a reason. They're lawbreakers and that's what they do. Lawbreakers break laws. That's why they're called that. And if this lawbreaker decides to carry a gun in, the non-lawbreakers that left their guns home because you're a sissy will not be able to protect you and help you. And the Lord knows that you are not able to help yourself because you're a sissy. I just am totally floored by this little idiot. The Daily Herald newspaper of Everett reported that Lieutenant Governor Cyrus Habib said no threats had been made, but I'm a sissy, so he's concerned that because the State House of Representatives, where the speech will take place, does not have a policy banning concealed weapons. You know what? Aurora Theater, that theater in Aurora, had a policy that banned concealed weapons. About 95% of all the mass shootings that's happened in the United States for the last 30 years had policies banning concealed weapons. You know something else? There's been a few places where shootings were stopped because they were not policies banning concealed weapons. This guy is an embarrassment to the entire human race, not just to men, to humans, period. What a... I said the House and Senate ban openly carried weapons in their galleries, and the Senate bans concealed guns as well. Habib, who is blind, said he is concerned that the House policy leaves elected officials vulnerable. So, I'm blind, so all weapons are concealed, whether they are or not. Alrighty then. Well, let's just move right along. This was the funniest thing that I heard today. It was disgusting. It was a little bit infuriating. It was kind of funny, too. And I know you've all seen this. This CNN legal analyst, I think her name's Reva Martin. Now, you guys know David Webb, right? Fox News, black guy, very conservative. I like listening to David Webb. He may not be perfect, but he's a pretty good guy, I think. So, Miss Martin was talking to David Webb on a telephone interview, and said that she accused him of white privilege. She said, let me see if I can skip down here. She said, I've come to cross different part. No. That's a whole nother long conversation about white privilege. The thing that you have the privilege of doing that people of color don't have the privilege of. And she said, how do I have the privilege of white privilege? And she said, David, by virtue of being a white male, you have white privilege. Well, at that time, he said, I hate to break it to you, but you should have been a little better prepared. I'm black. And she said, I stand corrected. And that was all she could say. And, he scolded her a little bit and said, that's actually insulting. Now, why did she say that? That is the epitome of racism right there. Because she didn't hear what she thought was a black man. She heard what she thought was a white man. She heard Charlie Pride talking. Well, Charlie Pride doesn't sound like a black man either, at all. So she strictly on. Now, what would happen if I was talking to somebody on the radio that had that accent from deep South Louisiana somewhere and was white as they could be? They were white, and I accused them of being black. I shouldn't say accused, if I mistook them for being black. What would happen? I would be hunted down, burned at the stake. What happens to this woman? Nothing. She may be a little bit embarrassed, but probably damn little. That is as racist as they come. This little short story may come as a surprise to you. DOJ has done a survey here. As of yesterday, they've come to the conclusion that most armed criminals don't. This brand new. I'm talking yesterday, like January 15, 2019, yesterday. And they've just come to this conclusion. That most armed criminals don't get their firearms from gun shows and stores. Say it isn't so. Where do you suppose they get them? They get them at flea markets and private sales, back alley black market sales. They're going to come up with a new word for black market pretty soon, because that's got to be racist. So DOJ has this incredibly enlightening new survey. Nationwide survey of 1 point. Wait. Hang on a minute.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.